Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your love and your kindness and your blessing. We thank you this morning, Lord, for Calvary. We've sung of it. We've rejoiced in it. We know the blessing of God and the touch of Almighty God. And we thank thee this morning that you were willing to come from heaven above to this sin-cursed earth to live and to die that we might be redeemed. There are no words that can express the thankfulness of our hearts for your goodness and your blessing. But we ask now this morning that as we come to the Word of God, that you will just open our hearts to your truth. You've promised, Lord, to bless your Word. It's not a case of blessing a person's Word, but you've promised to bless your Word. And I pray this morning that you will just let the Word of God fall on good ground in our hearts and our lives, that it may bear forth fruit 100-fold. Grant your blessing, therefore, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Pastor Mark, in the last two sermons, challenged us as he began this whole passage in Galatians with two basic thoughts. He challenged us with the words, "May God restore us." And there's not one of us, doesn't matter where we are in Christian life, that doesn't need that restoring touch of the living God. And he challenged us, secondly, that the messenger matters. If you're born again, if you're living for God, if you've been a child of God, doesn't matter how many years or how few years, the truth of what Pastor brought out in the first two sermons is very real. The messenger matters. And if you're born again, if you're a child of God, then you are a messenger. Have you ever begun to step off the biblical pathway and doubt the effectiveness of the work of Christ on Calvary in your own life? In chapters 3, 1 to 9, the Apostle Paul is writing to young Christians in Galatia. They'd run into a problem because of what they'd heard from Jewish leaders, and they were beginning to step off the biblical pathway and doubt the effectiveness of the work of Jesus Christ of Calvary. The problem was that the Jewish leaders who ruled that part of the world and the temple at that period of time, and who had just a few years previously brought about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, reported that Jesus had not really risen. They said it really wasn't a fact. It wasn't true. They said the way to live for God was to be circumcised, to keep the Ten Commandments, to which they'd added about 630 additional rules, which also had to be kept. And it was beginning to lead these young Christians off the pathway of following Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in Galatians, very bluntly declared that the Jewish leaders stated what they had stated was totally untrue, that anybody only needed faith in Jesus Christ, who had died on the cross, risen from the dead, and ascended to the Father, which when believed and accepted by faith, unquestionably resulted in a totally changed lifestyle. You see, the messenger does matter. We face a similar crisis in a multitude of churches today, for there are multitudes of church leaders of all kinds of denominations who tell the people that the work of Jesus Christ on the cross was probably fictitious. And to put faith in this Jesus is pure foolishness. To be a Christian, all you need to observe is the basic rules of good living. Do your own thing, the best you can. Be kind to everyone. And anyway, they tell them, there's no heaven or hell, so it doesn't really matter. Just be good. However, these new converts in Galatia were well aware of Calvary. It had been a recent event in their lifetime. And the Apostle Paul held up to these young Christians a picture of the crucifixion. He said, look on it. This is the crucifixion. And he bluntly asked them, did you get baptized in water? Did you receive the Holy Spirit in your life by observing a bunch of laws? Or by faith in what Jesus Christ has done for you at Calvary? And the Galatian letter clearly tells us these young converts had believed and had been baptized in water. So in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, the scripture says, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And then the full assurance of their salvation was clear. The Father's love had been evident in that they'd also received the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so if you jump a chapter and go to chapter 4 of Galatians, in chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, because you are sons or daughters or born-again folks, God has sent his Son into our hearts, and the Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. Paul pointed out to them that the very starting point of their Christian experience had been they'd been baptized by total immersion in water, and they'd also been filled with the Holy Spirit. Folks, the biblical pattern has not changed. The beginning of Christian life should be water baptism and should be followed by, indeed, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is biblical truth. Water baptism for these young converts had been, indeed, by full immersion. Paul taught very clearly in Romans that it symbolized being buried with Christ and rising to newness of life. Paul writes Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, we too may live a new life. For we know that the old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The whole purpose of water baptism is that the individual should realize they're going under the water, or being baptized indicated that they had died to sin. And when you come out of the water, the picture is simply that they must now live a totally new lifestyle in the power of Jesus Christ. You see, the messenger matters. These young Christians in Galatia knew this. But unfortunately, many people down through the time have gone through the waters of baptism without grasping the significance of what they do. And when they come up out of the water, nothing changes. Life should be changed when we understand that we've been buried with him and raised to newness of life. There should be clear evidence of a change in our lives after water baptism, because the messenger matters. Water baptism must be validated by a totally new way of life with the help of the Lord. And if this is not the case, then the person has not understood the real meaning of water baptism at all. It is just as true for the residence of the Holy Spirit in life. It must be validated by a new dimension of witness. The messenger matters. Luke records himself that Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, he said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised you, for in a few days you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then you will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." These young converts in Galatia had also been filled with the Holy Spirit. And the New Testament teaches that as in water baptism, there must be a clear biblical evidence when one is baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Bible does record that when people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke with tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. We don't hear this preached about much long, even in Pentecostal churches. In fact, in many Pentecostal churches, it's become a passé thing. But it's still biblical. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 tells us that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is in the day of Pentecost. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. In Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 46, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on them and on all who heard the message. And the Jewish believers who had come with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit was also poured out upon these Gentiles. For they heard them speaking with tongues and praising God. And then if you go a little further in the book of Acts to Acts chapter 8, verses 14 to 18, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, and when they arrived, what they do, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. And when Peter and John placed their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon, who's a magician, saw this take place, he said, "Hey, give me power so I can do the same thing." Obviously, something definite had happened when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God knows, and I need to understand, and you need to understand, that the messenger matters. For the Apostle Paul, personally, speaking with the tongues was a continual, ongoing experience. He writes in Corinth, of all places, where there was an abundance of all kinds of gifts. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, "I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all." The question is, having been baptized in water, and probably most of you has there been a transformation of life? And having been filled with the Holy Spirit, has there been the biblical evidence of speaking in tongues and a new dimension of witness? And we all need both, because the messenger matters. And so Paul's question to these young Galatian Christians about the evidence of these experiences with God was simple. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. He's very blunt, but it's simple. He says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you're now trying to live your Christian life by human effort?" These experiences with God must leave an indelible mark on everyone's life. And of course, the question I ask myself and I ask you this morning, have they left a definite spiritual mark on your life? Secondly, in this passage in Galatians, in chapter 3, verses 6 to 9, Paul identifies these young Galatian Christians with Abraham, and he's way back, but with Abraham on the basis of a family characteristic. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 to 9 says, the scriptures foreknew that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. That's way back. He announced the gospel in advance to Abraham, so that all who have faith will be blessed with Abraham, the man of faith. Paul is crystal clear that Abraham believed God by faith, who persuaded him then to conform the totality of his life to God. Because even then, way back in Genesis, the messenger of God matters. Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, Paul shows a striking similarity between the experience of these young Galatian Christians who had believed in the preaching of the cross, had been baptized, had received the blessing of the Holy Spirit. He said, thus you have also received the experience of being credited with the righteousness of God. Have you ever grasped the significance? As a child of God by faith, you are credited with the righteousness that Jesus Christ gained at the cross of Calvary from his Father. Credited with the righteousness of God. It's an accounting word in the New Testament. Accredited with the righteousness of God. It was given, certainly not because of obedience to a set of laws, but by faith alone in what Jesus Christ had done at Calvary. It was a divine blessing enjoyed by all who would believe. Abram had abandoned earthly things and surrendered himself by one act of faith. And the similarity between Abraham and the Galatians was that by one act of faith, they had surrendered themselves totally in water baptism, the experience of the Holy Spirit, and thus enjoyed being credited with the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Paul challenged these Christians in Galatia that they had lost sight of the cross and what Jesus Christ had done for them. And they were about to substitute a few laws which basically allowed them to reject Christ's work on Calvary and do whatever they liked. They were about to take a bypath to easy living rather than live totally changed lives in the power of Jesus Christ. Friends, where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Where am I this morning? Have you taken a bypath that has led you to doubt the full effect of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary? Pilgrim's Progress, and I don't know whether you've read it. If you haven't, you should read it sometime. Pilgrim's Progress tells us at one point that the two characters, the main characters in the story, Christian and hopeful, headed into a bypath meadow, which took them eventually to Doubting Castle. John Bunyan writes, the pilgrim and his friend are having a tough time walking the Christian pathway. And they join a fellow who's called Vain Confidence. And this fellow tells them, there's a stile over there that if you cross over the stile, at the other side, there's a green meadow and everything is wonderful there. You can just enjoy the green meadow. pilgrim or Bunyan tells us that they stepped over, went into the green meadow. It was wonderful for their feet, but they were very tired and finally they slept. When they awoke, giant despair faced them in the meadow and charged them with trespassing. He dragged them to his stronghold, Doubting Castle, threw them into a nasty, stinking dungeon, and they lay there for 4 days without one bit of bread, without any water, without light, or with anybody to ask them how they did. And giant despair finally reappeared and beat them with a cudgel until they could scarcely roll over. And then Christian came to his senses. And he said, "What a fool I am to lie in this stinking dungeon when I may as well walk in liberty in Jesus. I have a key in my bosom, in my pocket, that I'm persuaded will open any lock in Doubting Castle." "Oh, that's good news," says Hopeful. "Why on earth don't you take it out and try it?" And they tried it on the dungeon door, the story tells us, and it opened with ease, as did all the other doors in the castle. Outside, they tried it on the big iron gate, which finally opened. And they pushed the old gate open, and its rusty hinges creaked so loudly that Giant Despair was awakened. He jumped out of bed and began to dress, but got sick and had to go back to bed. And running with desperate speed, Christian and Hopeful finally found the stile by which they'd entered into Bypath Meadow. They climbed over it. Once again, they were on the King's Highway. But before going on, they decided to erect a pillar. And they wrote on the pillar, "Over this stile is the way to Doubting Castle, which is kept by Giant Despair, who despises the King of the Celestial Country and seeks to destroy any holy pilgrim." Could it be that perhaps you too have stepped off the biblical pathway and begun to doubt the effectiveness of the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary? Have you headed to Bypath Meadow, which takes you to Doubting Castle? And if so, I challenge you, find the stile again which took you away from the cross. Get back into the biblical pathway again. For the biblical pathway is indeed, according to this book of Galatians, water baptism, and the definite result of a transformed life. And then finally, again, and or perhaps for the first time, the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. And let these become real and effective in your own heart and life. Christian and Hopeful simply want to remind us all this morning that you and I possess the key of faith that can land you on the King's Highway again this morning. Take a fresh, long look this morning at the crucifixion, at Jesus hanging on the cross. And then by faith in what Jesus Christ has done, already done, get back on the right pathway. Let there be in your own very life visible evidence of an understanding of the transformation that God expects as you rose out of the waters of baptism. And let there be visible evidence of a continual dynamic witness resulting from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to remember this morning what Pastor brought to our attention last week and the week before. The messenger matters. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that you'll take the truth of your word, that you burn it into the fleshly tablets of our heart. We need to be reminded again and again and again of the work of Christ on Calvary, that we can indeed respond again to the work that has been done for us and the transformation that should be real in our own lives. And now may the God who is mighty and the Lamb who is worthy and the Spirit who is near fortify you to live faithfully in these days and in all days until Jesus comes again. Amen. God bless you. The coffee shop is open. Is that what you call it? The coffee shop is open if you want to visit this morning. And the Lord bless you. And as you go, remember, the messenger matters. And if you're born again, if you've begun to walk with God, you are a messenger of God. And the amen. And the messenger matters. Amen. God bless you.